Hello. It's December 1st, 2024. My name is Simone, and this is a special edition of 90s Crime Time. Hello and welcome to a brand new special edition episode of 90s Crime Time. And if you're new to 90s Crime Time, welcome to the show. And surprise, I am back with a special edition episode for you all today just because I feel terrible about my episode release schedule this year and I decided to bring you all a special edition episode that surrounds the holiday of Thanksgiving, which was a few days ago on Thursday. Now, I don't have much information that I would like about today's Thanksgiving case, but I thought I would still bring it to you anyway, since some of us are still celebrating the holiday this week. Like always, I hope you all have had a great week so far, especially with the holiday this week for my American listeners, and are having a great weekend so far. And with that, let's dive in to today's Thanksgiving case. The year was 1996, and in Houston, Texas, the state's capital city, which had a population of over 1.5 million at the time, there was no shortage of things to do. For one, Houston had many sports teams to cheer for, including their once-beloved Houston Oilers NFL team, even if by that time they were anything but respected. The NBA team, the Houston Rockets, and their MLB team, the Houston Astros. Also, Houston natives and visitors could, at the time, visit their popular Astro World theme park. Or for other family fun, many would catch a rodeo or concert at the Astrodome. Despite the many fun and positive things Houston was known for at the time, reports state in 1996, Houston was ranked the 8th most dangerous city in the U.S., due to its numerous murders and other crimes. And when the murder of a bright young resident occurred during the 1996 Thanksgiving holiday here, it would leave many wondering who did it and why. In the following case, you'll find out who this young woman was, the investigation, and the shocking aftermath in a case I title Thanksgiving Mystery. Although today's 90s crime story takes place in Houston, Texas, let's start the same year in 1996, almost 30 miles away in Katy, Texas. Reports state that in Katy resided the Wilson family, and on November 28, 1996, they prepared to welcome extended family into their home to celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. Reports also state the Wilson family treated Thanksgiving as the biggest holiday of the year and were always excited to welcome extended family to their home for a great feast. The meal was set to begin around 2 p.m. that day, but as almost an hour passed and the food was about ready to eat, one of their relatives, who never missed events like this, hadn't shown up, and the family grew worried. As a little more time passed, two of the Wilson family members, Bob and his wife Barbara Wilson, went to check on the missing family member. The family member lived in an apartment in Southwest Houston, and once Bob and Barbara made their way there, they knocked on the apartment door, but there was no answer. However, Barbara noticed the door was unlocked and let herself and Bob in. When they entered the apartment, they noticed that it was surprisingly dark and weren't able to turn on the light switch. But as they made their way to the left of the apartment, Bob became hysterical when he got closer to the apartment's kitchen, and on the floor, he saw the body of the missing family member, his and Barbara's daughter, 29-year-old Kristen Wilson, and she was dead. According to reports, Kristen Leah Wilson was born the second of three sisters, and her family described her as very caring and the life of the party. Kristen was very social growing up, and by the time she entered high school, she was very popular. She was also a member of her school's drill team and loved to perform at the school's football games. By the time she hit her 20s, Kristen worked some jobs, but by the time she hit her late 20s, she fulfilled her dream of being her own boss, and she opened her own secretarial firm, and her family was impressed she didn't borrow any money from anyone to open the business. Also by this time, Kristen had not been married or had children like her sisters. Still, according to them, she loved being an aunt and spoiling their children. She especially loved the holiday season when she would spend lots of time with them and other extended family. And she was pretty much always on time because she just loved spending time with her family. This is why it was very odd to the Wilsons that on Thanksgiving Day 1996, Kristen was late and hadn't called anyone. And after Kristen's body was found by her parents, Bob went outside and shouted in the apartment courtyard for someone to call 911 as his daughter had been murdered. Bob and Barbara were obviously horrified and didn't know for sure who would do this to Kristen, especially since she had been brutally battered and her body was left desecrated as she was nude from the waist down. After emergency personnel arrived, they determined Kristen had been strangled and possibly sexually assaulted, but they had to wait for testing to prove the sexual assault theory. Upon further investigation at the crime scene, detectives determined the reason her apartment was so dark was because the light bulbs in the apartment had been removed from the light fixtures, and they also noticed her phone cord had been cut. When they entered her bedroom, detectives noticed the window screen had been loosened, suggesting to them whoever did this to Kristen broke in through this window to commit the crime. They further examined Kristen's body as well, and they noticed her legs were crossed and her hands were in her lap as if her body had been possibly staged. Then they noticed some of her fingernails had been broken and some places on her body were bruised as if she was struggling with her killer. However, again, until lab and testing results came back, detectives had to wait to get the results of their theory to see if maybe some DNA got under her nails. Until then, they questioned Kristen's family about who could have killed her, but they said they weren't sure. However, Barbara told detectives that the night before, she spoke to Kristen, and she told Barbara she was going to the grocery store to get some things for the Thanksgiving dinner, and that on another note, she was very private with her personal life. However, reports state detectives eventually came across Kristen's diary, and after reading some of her entries, detectives were able to see a little into Kristen's world, and they discovered that several of her diary entries talked about a man named Ted. Reports state Ted was Kristen's boyfriend for a while, and while they didn't know much about Kristen's personal life, her family suggested her relationship with Ted was contentious. And written in the diary, detectives could support this accusation because Kristen wrote about it. Reports state in a diary entry dated October 14, 1993, she wrote, quote unquote, "And that moment was the very beginning of the 2 months of hell I've been going through." Kristen also wrote numerous times that she was upset that Ted drank too much and became a totally different person when he became drunk. She also complained about his alleged sleeping pill usage and said he was out of control. In another entry from October 1993, she wrote, quote unquote, "I'm upset that Ted was too drunk to pick me up." Another entry from November 1993 mentioned another fight she had with Ted about his drinking again, and she felt her relationship with Ted was not getting any better and that he was pretending their relationship was fine. Kristen also mentioned in her diary that after this fight, she and Ted barely spoke for weeks, and she continued to say if Ted continued to act like this, she'd rather live alone than with anyone else unless she was married. After reading about Ted and Kristen's relationship, detectives questioned her family and friends about it, and some of her closest loved ones told them that they didn't like the relationship. For one, despite Kristen being private about most of her personal life, they knew Ted could be volatile, and they thought Kristen was better and could do better than date Ted. They also said Kristen had a giving and savior nature, and that she was probably trying to save Ted, which is why she stayed with him for a while. Barbara also told a detective that during their relationship, Kristen confided to her that during an argument with Ted, he got really aggressive towards her, and she locked herself in the bathroom until he calmed down. Family members also said Kristen eventually broke up with Ted in 1994, but it did not go over well. Reports state Kristen's family reported that after the breakup, Ted would stalk her frequently and beg for her to return to him. They also said he would wait for Kristen to leave her apartment many times and follow her in his car. Barbara specifically told detectives that one time when Ted was apparently stalking Kristen, this occurrence scared her so much that she called her mother for help. Barbara told her to come to her job and stay there because she knew security there would handle Ted if he tried to come inside the building, and she did. Her family also added they weren't sure when the last time Kristen and Ted spoke, but they said Kristen and Ted had been broken up about a year and a half by the time of her murder, and he could have been the one to kill her. But he was not the only suspect. That's because Barbara told police Kristen again confided in her something secret, which was shortly after her breakup with Ted, she began dating a wealthy immigrant from Scotland named Alistair, who was 20 years older than her, and was married. Kristen didn't talk too much about Alistair to Barbara or her sisters, but Barbara wondered why she would willingly date a married man, because she felt that was not a good situation to be in, and was unsure if Alistair could be a suspect. Kristen's family also mentioned, according to reports, that Kristen was planning on moving out of her apartment soon, especially since shortly before her murder, a maintenance man of the apartment let himself into her unit unannounced, and she felt unsafe. However, it's unclear if the police looked into the maintenance man as a possible suspect. Also, shortly after the investigation began, police also heard of Kristen's best friend, Sam, and he spoke to detectives about how Kristen confided in him as well about her troubled relationships and how he didn't approve of them mostly. Police didn't view Sam as a possible suspect in the murder per se. But just a few days after the murder, Ted, Alistair, and Sam were brought into the local precinct for questioning and were asked to give samples of their DNA, and they all agreed. Eventually, none of their DNA was found in Kristen's apartment. But reports state the crime lab only tested for DNA on Kristen's body and some parts of the apartment, and only tested for fingerprints on other parts of the apartment, including the windowsill, phone cord, and some scissors found near her body. By now, detectives were at a standstill as there were no viable suspects in the murder. But sometime that year in 1996, Kristen's family raised the alarm and spoke to detectives again about Alistair. They said after Kristen's murder, Alistair offered to pay for her funeral, her headstone, and he bought some gifts for the family. To her family, they thought this was strange because even though they had dated, why was Alistair doing all of this for Kristen and her family, especially since he was married? However, when detectives tried to talk to Alistair about this, he referred them to his lawyer, and he and his family refused to talk to them. After some time had passed, detectives had persons of interest in the murder case of Kristen Wilson. But after a while, her case went cold, despite some tips and more clues provided. And to this day, 28 years later, the murder of Kristen Wilson remains unsolved. The story of the unsolved murder of Kristen Wilson comes from the sources of the Houston Chronicle, Project Cold Case, ABC 13, and others I'll put in the notes. All right, so I'm going to do a quick opinion piece about this unsolved murder, Kristen Wilson's unsolved 1996 Thanksgiving murder. I'm not sure, let me start off by saying, I'm not sure if she was murdered the night before the night before Thanksgiving or the day of Thanksgiving. I should have said that in the episode. I do apologize, but it was sometime, obviously, on those days, on one of those days. But my question is, my first thing is, I'm determined that this murder was personal because I've always read in true crime stories and true crime shows, watch shows, that strangulation usually means something personal, because if it's like something random, it's usually shooting, maybe a stabbing, which I also have heard that could be personal as well because you're up on that person, stabbings and strangulation. So I believe Kristen's murder was more than likely personal, and she more than likely knew her killer. She also had bruises on her body, like I mentioned. So I don't know if that was from strangulation or someone really mad at her and beat her. I'm not sure what those are from, or maybe just from the fighting. They were upset she was fighting back because she obviously had the broken fingernails, like I mentioned. And also, I believe this was personal because she was partially nude on the bottom. And I couldn't find where if she was actually raped or not. I saw on ABC 13, they did an expose on her murder. And it was one test came back saying she was sexually assaulted. Another one said it was undetermined. But I'm assuming she was because she was nude from the waist down when she was found. So also quickly, I just think all the characters involved could have had something to do with Kristen's murder. Number one, Ted. He was, according to her and people who knew about their relationship, an alcoholic or drank a lot and had a pill problem. He could be out of control. He was different, according to Kristen, when he drank. Rageful. Sometimes she got scared, as I mentioned, locked herself into the restroom until he calmed down. And then when she finally had enough, she broke up with him. He stalked her. One time he got so scary that she called her mom for help. She went to her mom's job and stayed there until the coast was clear. So I think maybe Ted has something to do with it. I don't know. I can't say for sure. We also can't say for sure. Law enforcement can't say for sure because I've read that Ted died in 2014 of pancreatic cancer, and he was also estranged from his own family. So that made me, you know, a light bulb go off. Like maybe he was kind of violent. I mean, obviously he was, according to Kristen, but his own family and he were not even talking at the time of his death. So that's something to think about. Also, Alistair, he referred the detectives to his attorney immediately after they wanted him to come in for more questioning. He referred them to his attorney. He was also married. He also, for me, I thought it was strange that after Kristen's murder, he showered the family with gifts, paid for her funeral, paid for her headstone. And that to me was fishy because maybe he had something to do with it. Maybe he was guilty. Maybe he wanted to compensate for what he maybe had done. Again, we don't know. That's just my theory about Ted and Alistair. The maintenance man, like I mentioned, I couldn't find much of anything on the maintenance man that let himself into her apartment unannounced. I don't know if he was reprimanded after that. I don't know. But I know Kristen said, according to her family, she wanted to move from that apartment because she was unsafe. I don't know if she was unsafe after the maintenance man incident or if she's trying to get away from Ted or Alistair. No one knows, including her family, because she was so private about her personal life. And it could be any of those characters, like I mentioned. It's a big whodunit 28 years later, which is really unfortunate. And I hope her family gets closure and find out who did this to Kristen Wilson. And that's it. Thank you for tuning in to this brand new post-Thanksgiving episode of 90s Crime Time. And I hope this episode interested you. If you liked what you heard and have not done so, please leave a review for 90s Crime Time. Hopefully a good one. But if not, I understand and I will try to get better. Also, as I mentioned in the last episode, I do plan on having new episodes released every week until the end of the year to make up for my lack of episodes this year. And with that, stay safe and healthy, and I'll see you soon for a brand new episode of 90s Crime Time.